My name's Matthew Shirley. I work at a primary school in Cornwall, which is right in the southwest of England. It's a very beautiful county, lovely coastline. I grew up there, went and then lived in London for 20 years, and was fortunate enough to come back to Cornwall 20 years ago, and I've worked in different schools ever since.
Well, good, good. And what brings you to West Virginia?
Well, primarily the reason is the podcast Inside Appalachia. A few years ago, I started reading books based on things like the Civil War and based on things that happened around the West Virginia area. And so I Googled the podcast Appalachia, and I came up with Inside Appalachia, and I've listened to it ever since.
Oh, wonderful. How many, has it been years or just?
No, it's been years. I listened when Cecilia Mason used to present it, and then it was Jessica Lilly subsequent to that. So I think it's a couple of years at least.
Sure. Sure. And was there anything particular about the area that particularly piqued your interest?
Well, I think there are lots of similarities between West Virginia and Cornwall. And certainly each episode of Inside Appalachia seemed to reflect things that I could think on for Cornwall itself. But I think there's a really, really good balance in Inside Appalachia, because you sometimes get the stories, the sort of heartrending stories about things like the floods. But you also get the variety. So you get stories about hip hop in the hills, or you get arts and discussing the murals on the back roads. So you get that huge variety. And I think it's a really, really good balance of different subjects. You never know what's going to come up each week.
Right. Well, tell me a little bit about the people of Cornwall, because we do, West Virginia Public Broadcasting does air several programs that actually take place in Cornwall, one being Doc Martin.
Right.
And it's very popular here. Also recently when they redid Poldark.
Yeah.
And that was centered around Cornwall, particularly about a landowner who was trying to develop his mining operation. And that always struck me as being really close to our maybe how things developed here in West Virginia. Could you reflect on how that culture mirrors what we have here in Appalachia?
Well, I think again that was part of the attraction of West Virginia being in Cornwall, because there are so many similarities between the two places. I'm really interested that you've heard of Doc Martin and Poldark. Again, that scenery is very very typical of Cornwall. And I think it's interesting what you say about the tin mining. And I think, again, Cornwall has those similarities with West Virginia in that I think the closest tin mine to where I grew up closed when I was in my early teens. And again, there was a big issue of how were the men there going to be redeployed and what could be done. And so, again, there's that kind of similarity with perhaps coal mining in West Virginia now and the issues that are happening there. It's also, I think, Cornwall is one of the poorest counties in the UK. And I think, again, it's really interesting working with young people how there was a report in a newspaper yesterday that the average house price is 11 times the average wage in Cornwall, because people are able to come down from up country and buy all the beautiful properties along the coast. So it's a real dilemma for youngsters as they grow up. And I think, you know, perhaps that's reflected in West Virginia as well, that you have those issues of sort of deployment.
And you deal with a lot of young kids and what are the age groups of the kids that you are headmaster for?
Well, they're aged between 3 and 11. So, they don't have the issues that the sort of older teenagers have, but their parents have, you know, issues of employment and things like that.
And how do you help mitigate some of those issues or work with the kids if they come into school with emotional issues concerning things that they see going on in their home?
Well, we have staff who are the teachers and teaching assistants who support within the classroom. But what we also have is a family support worker whose job has grown tremendously over the last couple of years. And we also have somebody who's completely dedicated to speech and language. So they work with children as well as they come in.
And you've heard some of the discussions of music and art and so forth that they've had on Inside Appalachia. What are some of the fairs and festivals, some of the things that they do to celebrate culture in Cornwall?
Well, we always celebrate St. Piran's Day, who's our patron saint, if you like. That's on March the 5th, and we come into school wearing either the Cornish tartan or black and silver, which are the colours of the Cornish flag. Because again, Cornwall many people think, you know, Cornwall kind of wasn't, you know, ought to be a nation. There's a river that flows all the way along the border. It's got its own language. It has had its own parliament. The Cornish people, again, have marched on parliament. They've marched on London twice. Okay, once in the 15th century and once in the 17th century. But again, you know, like the people of West Virginia, there's that real resilience there and real sense of identity.
Now, with a lot of modern communities, states or regions of different countries, they're faced with that modernization and the changing from an agricultural to an industrial base. Talk a little bit about how Cornwall has had to deal with that over the years. You mentioned that the tin mines closed in the what did you say, the 70s?
The last of the tin mines closed in kind of the 70s. I think again there is the feeling in Cornwall that it's a long way from London, which means that we kind of tend to get ignored a bit. Sorry, can you just repeat the question again?
Yeah, sure. As different counties, states, and everything deal with modernity and the transition from agriculture to industry and back again, and so forth, or the balancing of the two, how has Cornwall dealt with that over the years?
Well, on the Cornish crest, you have a picture of a fisherman and a picture of a tin miner. And as I've said, they were what Cornwall was built on. But again, fishing is in decline now as well. And I think some of that work has gone into work in tourism as well. In the town where I teach, there's a big industry in terms of making Cornish pasties, which are then transported all the way across the country. That's been important as well. So it's in tourism, but also the European Union has supported Cornwall through millions of dollars of funding over the last sort of decade or so. So it'll be interesting with Brexit, mm-hmm. what will then happen as a result of that.
Right. Now, we carry a lot of the BBC programming, and there's a lot of discussion even around the Brexit vote and so forth about the entering of migrants into the country and trying to keep them from crossing the channel and that sort of thing. How much is Cornwall influenced by the coming of migrants into that area?
Well, we have a growing Eastern European population coming into Callington, where I work, and I've got nothing but positive things to say about their inclusion into the community. It's been a really positive thing.
Good. And you mentioned that tourism is a vital part. That's one thing that West Virginia has tried to capitalize, the fact that here you are from Great Britain, you hear a podcast here and you want to come and visit the state. How beneficial has that been for Cornwall? Because there's a debate here in the state whether we should put more into tourism as being the one industry that we can maintain, even in the worst amount of times. How has that worked for Cornwall?
Well, again, I mean, I'd echo what you say about West Virginia. It's a truly beautiful state. And I'm only here for 2 weeks, but I can see the beauty across the whole state. In terms of Cornwall, I think tourism, I'm not sure on the exact figures, but it kind of doubled, the population kind of doubles. And more than that in certain areas in the summer. And I think it has been a vital lifeline, really, with the other industries declining.
Okay. And now, so you've been listening to Inside Appalachia for many years. Are there any particular stories that you remember that have struck you as being particularly poignant or enlightening that you've even maybe shared with your friends in Cornwall?
There are a number of different episodes that I remember more than others. I can remember the controversy over the Sheetz pepperoni roll, which quite amused me, as I'd never heard of Sheetz and I'd never heard of pepperoni rolls. But I understand that was a huge controversy at the time.
Have you been to a Sheetz since you've been here so you could find out for yourself?
I haven't yet. I'm saving that. So that was a series of episodes that I remember really well. The other episodes that really struck me as well, I think, were the episodes where people were coming from out of state and taking photographs which showed West Virginians in a bad light. And again, I mean, I felt that message came across really strongly in the podcasts. And I think recently with the floods that have happened, really, really poignant episodes. But I think what it is about Inside Appalachia is that whatever the subject matter, each episode can be sort of really uplifting and really positive, but also really reflects the kind of the resilience and the character, I guess, of the West Virginian people.
Okay. And well, let's see. Anything else you'd like to add? The value of having a program like Inside Appalachia, even as a podcast?
Well, again, it's... for me, there's a huge value in Inside Appalachia because it's why I've decided to come to the state. And it's been really interesting. So far, I've been to Beckley. I'm here in Charleston at the moment, and then I'm moving on to Davis just to get a kind of bit of a snapshot of the state, and it is truly as reflected in the in the podcast.
Good. All right. Well, normally when we get guests in here, listeners, we usually actually have them do a plug for the network. But since you're not a member, I'm not going to ask you to do that.
Okay.
But we'll probably what we might do is use this. They may want to use it for part of the podcast. The Inside Appalachia program.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then we might just have you mention.
If there are things that you want me to say that are positive about, it's sort of shorter and snappier rather than rambling on, I'm happy to do that.
Well, one thing we could try to do is have you say your name, where you're from, and say you're listening to West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Let's see, how can we say this? Mainly because we have BBC Overnight.
Right.
And NewsHour and Dan Damon's program at 5 o'clock. It'd be nice to have you just say something about West Virginia Public Broadcasting and tie it into Inside Appalachia so we could kind of promote the two programs together, I guess.
Okay.
Trying to think. Let's see. Have you say your name? Hi, I'm...
Yeah, Matthew Shirley. I'm from Kennington in Cornwall.
Right. You're listening to the BBC on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Be sure to listen this weekend for one of my favorite programs, Inside Appalachia.
Okay. So my name is Matthew Shirley, and I'm from Kennington in Cornwall. At the moment, you're listening to the BBC on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Be sure to look out for Inside Appalachia this weekend.
Good. Now let's try to flip that a little bit. Have you say your name, where you're from. You're listening to Inside Appalachia. Be sure to listen to BBC News overnight.
My name is Matthew Shirley. Sorry. My name is Matthew Shirley from Callington in Cornwall. You're listening to Inside Appalachia. Be sure to listen to BBC Overnight.
Great. Sounds good. I think that'll work.
Okay, thank you.